My name is Mary Martin, and I'm a director of an apostolate called Unleash the Gospel at Work. Our mission is to help women and men joyfully live their faith and witness to Christ and the gospel in the workplace. The purpose of the Unleash the Gospel at Work Innovation Podcast is to invite leaders from around the country to share their story about how they found innovative ways to share their faith in their workplaces. Today, we're blessed to have Kevin Lowry, husband, father, leader, and author with us on our UTG at Work Innovation Podcast. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Mary.
Great to have you with us. So excited to have you join us as a guest.
Well, thank you. I look forward to the conversation.
Great. So we're excited to get the podcast rolling, but let's just take a minute and quiet our minds and our hearts and just pray, asking God to fill us with every grace as we begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time, this opportunity to come before you, Lord. So grateful, just grateful for all the ways that you have blessed us, all the ways that you've helped us grow, all the ways you've healed us and made new paths in our life. And Lord, we just come before you as beloved son and daughter, and so many of our listeners here as well. Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts. I ask you to give Kevin words of inspiration to share with us today from his experience and the great love that you have shown him in his life. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Kevin, I have a formal introduction that tells me a little bit about your life, and I just want to read it so that people get acclimated and a good introduction to who you are. So let me do that.
Sure.
So Kevin Lowry is Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer for Rev Local, a digital marketing company based in Columbus, Ohio. He also serves on the boards of Our Sunday Visitor, the Coming Home Network International, and is president of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Kevin is past president of the Columbus chapter of Legatus. Kevin is the author of How God Hauled Me Kicking and Screaming into the Catholic Church and Faith at Work, Finding Purpose Beyond the Paycheck, along with chapters of several other books, including Surprised by Truth 2 and Special Children, Blessed Fathers. He's written countless articles and is a frequent speaker for Catholic and secular groups. Kevin and his super cute wife live in Columbus, Ohio, and have seven children. I just heard today, two more on the way. So thank you. Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. So all of this is super exciting, especially these book titles. I'm kind of excited for you to just share with everybody a little bit, if you could, your spiritual journey and just when your relationship with Jesus became real, and especially for you, the fullness of the Catholic Church was something you wanted to really invest in and become part of. So, yeah, tell us your story.
Sure. Okay, well, I'm originally from Canada, from the Toronto area, and I've been told that I did a great job picking my parents because I just have the most wonderful parents. They're just terrific.
Awesome.
And my dad is a very interesting guy. He got an undergraduate degree in history. He got his first graduate degree in theology and became an ordained Presbyterian minister.
Wow.
And served as the clerk of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Canada for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, he and my mom were missionaries in Nigeria. And and my dad came back from that experience so sort of blown away and really intrigued with some of the challenges, the economic challenges and things like that, mm-hmm. that he actually got a doctorate in business from MIT. So when I was a kid, we would have all these different discussions about both faith and work, and it just seemed like the most natural thing in the world to me. Mm-hmm. So I grew up, you know, exposed to tons of different denominations. I went to a Pentecostal middle school, mm-hmm. and a Quaker high school.
Wow.
And my best friend was a Church of Christ minister's son, and lots of my friends were Baptists or, you know, various evangelical flavors, and mm-hmm. you know, lots of good people. Mm-hmm. I have very good memories, and you know, I had a great childhood. Played hockey for the first 16 years of my life.
Because you're from Canada. Then, that's what we do, friend.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, you skate first, and
that's
then
right.
you walk second. Yeah. But I was sort of denominationally confused. So my dad came to me at one point and said, you know, I've been reading this Catholic magazine, because he and my mom had sort of very positive interactions with Catholics over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about this little Catholic college in Ohio called Franciscan University in Steubenville.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a couple of years ahead of myself. And so I'm 16 years old and about to graduate. And my dad said, how would you like to go down and check this out? And of course I said, well, hang on, you know, different country, 7 hours away from you and mom.
And
I get to take a couple of days
right,
off school.
Right.
Let's go. You know,
yeah,
this is great.
I'm in.
So I went down there and met a bunch of guys in a fraternity who took me out and got me completely blasted. And I thought it was the greatest place on earth. So I decided that I was going to go to Franciscan University. I was going to join that fraternity, and the whole thing was going to be just epic.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, it was epic. My dad says now in retrospect that I double majored in beer and billiards.
Okay.
And I did so well with those studies in particular that my third semester, I got a 0.549 GPA.
Wow.
And I was invited to explore other avenues in life. So as it turned out, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I went back up to Canada. I had to get a job. I found one at Sony and just had a mm-hmm. terrific experience there. But it occurred to me after about 3 or 4 years and after growing up a bit
right.
that I really needed to go back to school. So the only place on the planet that would touch me, as it turned out, mm-hmm. was Franciscan University.
Yes.
You know, thanks be to God for a little forgiveness at the right
That's
time.
That's right.
You know,
we have confession for a reason, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So even, you know, poor, stupid Presbyterian kids, they were very merciful, and I'm grateful for that. But the second time around, I met the most beautiful American girl I've ever seen in my life, mm-hmm. and she's just absolutely fabulous. And she wasn't Catholic either.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up going through a course together, because you have to have a certain amount of Catholic theology and different, you know, humanities courses and things like that. We took one together called Ethics. And it was it just taught by a wonderful professor. And it turned out, though, to be a semester-long study in an encyclical called Humanae Vitae. And so this caused a little minor crisis in my life, because first of all, I said, well, what's an encyclical? You know, it's something the Pope wrote. Okay, all right. You know, what are we going to talk about? Oh, you know, birth control. And I just kind of went ballistic, and I said, what are you crazy Catholics talking about? You know, it's such a
people
complete non-issue, you know? And what was interesting was I got into this class and I had never heard any of the arguments.
Mm.
So it really went from, I started as being almost like hyper offended in my, you know, my pride and arrogance, to being kind of mildly intrigued, to being like, wow, that's, you know, it's actually pretty compelling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To being pretty much convinced that maybe the Catholics weren't completely nuts on this issue.
Wow.
So it sort of opened the door mm-hmm. at the right time, you know. So long story short, my dad ended up coming down for a year in my senior year as a visiting professor.
Mm, wow.
And he then went back up to Canada and he wrote an article about Christian unity.
Wow.
And it was very interesting, because he had been invited the previous year to go to the Vatican and spend a week in the Vatican and meet St. John Paul II.
Wow.
You know, for various reasons. So he, you know, my dad, the rebel, goes, jets over to Rome and, you know, loves JP2, just
sure.
thinks
yeah.
the world of him and is really kind of rocked by this whole thing. So he writes this article about Christian unity in what was called the Presbyterian Record, which was the denominational magazine. And he was
right.
very visible, of
sure.
course, within
yeah,
that
yeah.
denomination. And it came out with his picture on the front cover shaking hands with the Pope.
Wow.
And all hell broke loose because there were people who were saying, you know, he's basically a heretic. He needs to be thrown out of the church.
Wow.
All the way, oh, you know, and like the Pope's the Antichrist.
Doesn't
oh, Dr.
yeah.
Larry
yeah.
understand,
all
you know?
The craziness. Yeah.
And then on the flip side, a number of people saying, oh, it's, you know, it's great. It's ecumenical. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it really, you know, that had a sort of transformative effect because my wife and I, well, you know, my girlfriend at the time, but later my wife
mm-hmm.
and I were starting to look around and we did what every responsible Protestant did, at least at the time, or what we did, which was shopping denominations.
Oh, yeah.
So we decided that we needed to check out the local Baptist church and Presbyterian church and Methodist church. You know, just we
sure.
sort of made the rounds. And we did go to a Catholic church, even though it was sort of foreign to
right.
us.
Yeah.
But we were sort of like spiritual nomads almost at the time. And in fact, we had our first three kids in, believe it or not, 2 years and 8 months.
Wow. So, you know, are you
yeah,
sure
no,
you weren't Catholic? That
no,
sounds
yeah, right.
pretty Catholic to me.
No kidding. Right? Well, it was, I think, the fumes of Humanae Vitae or
there
something.
There you go.
But we were involved in a prayer group run by some very dear evangelical friends and
yep.
who sort of caught a whiff of the fact that I was a little bit pro-Catholic or starting to get a little pro-Catholic in my leanings.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I didn't know this until years later, but my wife was actually at the time counseled to divorce me because they were telling her that I was leading the family to hell and that it was so serious that she needed to take the kids and up and go.
Wow.
But the tipping point or sort of the culmination almost of this whole thing was the year after my dad was there in his visiting professor year, Scott Hahn came
oh.
to Franciscan and through a mutual friend passed off a tape called Protestant Minister Becomes Catholic. And my dad and I listened to this together on a road trip one day. And I'll mm-hmm. never forget my dad turning to me and he said, you know, I can't really argue with anything this guy's saying.
Oh, my.
And it was just
wow.
sort of like all of a sudden, you know, the previous sort of 10-year journey
right.
almost crystallized
mm-hmm.
at that moment. And I thought, okay, you know what? I gotta call this guy. So I called Scott. And we
just, you know, pick up the phone.
Together.
Hey, Scott, how's it
well,
going?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
like...
yeah, he wasn't the rock star he
oh,
is
okay.
today.
Well,
that's
all righty,
you know,
then.
He's a guy who put out a tape, right? But just, you know, Scott and Kimberly, his wife, were
yes.
just so gracious
oh,
to us
they,
and so
beautiful.
Loving. And we're still to this day so grateful. But he ended up, when we got together, giving me a rosary.
Oh.
And it was just, you know, you talk about transformation. My conversion at that point had been sort of, you know, the better part of 10 years in terms of the head knowledge
right,
part
right.
of it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But as soon as I started praying this rosary, within a couple of weeks, Mary, I wanted nothing more than to become Catholic.
I'm telling you, Mary is the way.
Oh,
you didn't know it at the time, but I'm telling you. There
it's,
is no
yeah.
one who wants people to come to Jesus in the church more than Mary. She's
exactly.
it. She's the one.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It was so powerful. And I still just remember to this day, and to this day, part of the bedrock of my prayer life is a daily rosary because it's just so powerful
mm-hmm.
and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, my wife and I, she was still skeptical and she was a couple steps behind me. And
it's
actually
okay.
Kimberly
yep.
played a part in sort of
Aww.
Helping to bring her around. But we ended up coming into the church together and then my parents moved to Steubenville on a permanent basis the year after that. My dad taught at Franciscan for many years.
Uh-huh.
And they came into the church, my parents did, the following year. And I was actually able to serve as my dad's sponsor. And
Praise
it was just
God.
Tremendous.
Wow.
Father Mike Scanlon was there.
Oh,
and it was
just
beautiful.
My.
And as it's turned out, you know, it's really changed every aspect of my
oh.
life in every possible way, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
especially like, you know, eight kids.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, right.
Right. Why the heck would anybody want eight kids?
We started out with three right away, you know.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get to eight.
But it's so funny how it just changed the way that we look at it from something that was economic liabilities to unmitigated blessings.
Of course. So. It's just, and I love that you talk about that conversion for you and probably your dad too. Had to be intellectual first, right? It had to be this seeking truth, really knowing, really understanding, and somebody had to really speak into all of those challenges that you had of the faith. What about this and this and this?
Right.
And but it always has to come to the heart. It always has to be relational. Yeah. It can't just be intellectual. And and I think that's a beautiful part of what you're talking about, that you probably knew Jesus, but the coming into the fullness of the truth of the Catholic Church, the faith that's so deep, was part of your journey too, an important part.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say that, because one of the things that I saw was exactly what you're talking about. There was depth and beauty in the church that just didn't exist in some of the other faith traditions. And again, wonderful people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you
I'm
know,
with
many
you.
who completely outdid me in terms of living it, you know? But at the same time, yeah, the fullness is just, it's incomprehensible. My dad actually came in. He said, as a result of the Eucharist, because he saw that as the key to Christian unity.
Fascinating.
And I think there's so much to that, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, when you go back and you look at division, right? Reformation, all those things, sin on both sides, right? Really tough.
Right.
And we're still living in the ripple of that. So I can see where, you know, maybe, you know, we're coming up on the Eucharistic Congress. Maybe this is the time that we all are, you know, praying for unity. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thought.
And of course, it's changed my approach to work too.
Oh, yeah. So tell me a little bit about sharing your faith at work. Again, I think it's fascinating that you started out as a Protestant, like you started out as, you know, a person who had biblical faith. And, you know, I did too. I'm a convert to the faith as well. So, you know, knowing Jesus and the scripture, like that rolls right off my tongue, can pray with people, that kind of stuff. But to actually then have it integrate into the Catholic faith and then take it to work with you. So tell me a little bit about sharing your faith at work.
Sure. So, you know, when I first wrote my book, Faith at Work, Finding Purpose Beyond the Paycheck, it was what happened with the triggering event was the fact that I somehow stumbled across the fact that this wasn't the way that everybody thought.
Oh.
That, you know, which was very unusual to me. I was like, well, wait a minute. Hang on for a second. It's all part of the same thing. It's this integration, you know, is so critical and it's so important. But a lot of people just show up and they kind of check their faith at the door.
Wow, yeah.
And you would never know. And I was like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because really, if you think about it, at least the way that I look at it, the faith, and in particular the Catholic faith, it provides the greatest context that I know of for human flourishing. And that includes at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because if we're better Catholics, we should actually become better workers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're better workers, we should become better Catholics. Because the beauty of the workplace is that it provides us with challenges that we have to overcome.
For sure. Right. and all different kinds of ways. All kinds of ways we're being challenged. But any Christian is going to be challenged, especially, you know, I mean, people want you to lie. People want you to say terrible things. People want you to, you know, fluff this off. Or there's all kinds of things that happen in the workplace that we really can't kind of talk about. But if you're a person of faith and a person of truth and a person of integrity and trying to live holiness, like all of those Ten Commandments, all this stuff, that's real, man. Like that's real. That's real. Yeah. So did you find that there were lots of other people. So one of the things we talk about in Unleash the Gospel at Work is the six good habits. And one of the good habits is the spirit of cooperation. So when you're in that environment, when you were really starting to see, wow, like, why are we checking the faith at the door? Were there other people, other kind of friendlies, other people who were also looking for the same thing or wanted in some way to live more fully that way? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that there are always people who are interested in that, but everybody's at a different place. Yeah. So how well or not so well they articulate that or it's even sort of formed in their own mind is all over the place. But this goes back to something you said before, which is, you know, it has to be the heart, not just the mind.
Right.
And, I actually believe that conversion is above our pay grade in the sense that what we tell somebody won't penetrate their hearts, but the Holy Spirit can take what we say and do so.
Beautiful.
You know, so we're absolutely reliant on the Holy Spirit. And part of it, if you think about it, you know, so let's talk about evangelization, for example, in the workplace. Part of it is being before doing.
Yes.
You know, it's who we are. It's who we represent. I can't tell you what, just, you know, there are a lot of people who think I'm nuts for having eight kids. But that in and of itself is a witness.
Sure.
Because, of course, the question is, well, why the heck would you do that?
Ah,
you know?
Sure, sure.
So it presents an opportunity.
Right. And just your witness, like you said, like your lifestyle choices, especially for you and your beautiful wife, you know, making that kind of choice, people are like, wow, you people are nuts.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but the other thing that's interesting that I just see that's universally true is that, if we are to be effective evangelists, it has to start with love.
Yeah.
We have to love the other people. And by that, no, I don't mean like a sweet and sappy love.
Nope.
I mean, we have to will the good of the other person. We have to desire what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And that should lead us to both love and in a certain sense, tough love. I mean, one of the habits that you guys talk about is apostolic boldness.
Yes.
And part of that, to me, that's courage.
Yes.
You know, so we sometimes, every now and again, we need to be able to call people out in the right way, in a spirit of love.
Right.
You know, I'll never forget when I was in, I started my career in after Sony, after I actually graduated from college.
Good news.
I started my career in a CPA firm. And there was a guy there who was a very committed, born again Christian. Mm-hmm. And he really did a good job of sort of accompanying me, asking questions, relational evangelization.
Right.
And at one point he said, you know, I think you really need to start taking your faith seriously.
Wow.
And it was funny because that dovetailed with some of the things, of course, that I was learning and discovering about the Catholic Church.
Sure.
And it was kind of the right impetus at the right time. Mm-hmm. So I've always appreciated that about him, that, you know, there are people in our lives who do love us in their own ways and can be so, you know, just right there at the right place at the right time. Just, again, sort of like the Hans were.
Yeah. And we sort of want to be those people too,
exactly.
Right? Because when you go back to talking about the Holy Spirit, I always say to people, you don't have to hit it out of the park every time. It's okay.
Right.
You know, like you don't have to, you know, give people this and teach them the rosary and here's the catechism. And, you know, it is relational and it's about really good accompaniment and listening well. I mean, we're so excited about the truth. We just like can't wait to tell people, which is great. But sometimes our stories about stumbling and getting it wrong and being confused, and that's really helpful that we are vulnerable. You know, we show people our weakness and let them know that it's okay to not be perfect too, because I'm not perfect. You know, I'm broken. But there's the beauty of, you know, the fullness of Jesus's relationship with you, mm-hmm. right? So like he's walking alongside, loving me, picking me up, going, one more time, sister, you know? But if we're vulnerable and not so quick to be punitive or tell people or, you know, even chastise people, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. need to be that person to come alongside somebody who's just really having a tough go, whether it's at work or at home or whatever it is, so that we can show them that love, right?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, because it's so critical. Because what you're describing is the authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, the ability, because what that does when you're vulnerable is it also builds trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which if you're talking to somebody that you have no respect for, and that you have no trust of, mm-hmm. you know, then we're like clanging cymbals, right? As
right.
1 Corinthians 13
sure.
talks about it. It's
yeah.
like we're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think that we get the cart before the horse a little
right.
bit, or at least,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I know I do. I've done that. Yeah. So, you know, just the loving people and then establishing that relationship. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who calls it the apostolate of friendship.
Yeah.
Which is so critical. And part of it is listening, mm-hmm. you know, listening to other people. Because, then after we've listened,
right.
then it's okay to talk. Mm-hmm. But if we just come in and we just start, you know, sort of pontificating about everything, it doesn't work at all. So, and the thing is, we also have to remember that when we start talking, and especially, you know, I'm talking about faith specifically
sure.
now,
yeah.
the most compelling thing is to be able to tell stories
right.
about how the faith has changed us.
Yes. Yeah. I tell people all the time, your story is the second greatest story ever told.
Exactly.
So
right.
your
right.
ups and downs, like what you've shared with us, are like our ups and our downs and our questions and our confusion and all those things, that's the second greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
And it's ours. We don't have to be perfect in knowing the catechism or knowing every Bible quote. I mean, it's important to do that. We want to do that. We want to grow in our faith. But what's really critical is to know our own story and be able to share that. Beautiful.
Yeah, and it takes something that is not easy for any of us, and that is humility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love C.S. Lewis has a great quote on humility, that it's not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less.
Amen.
And I just think he just nails it, you know.
Yep, that's
it's
right.
So good. Simple. But it doesn't come naturally to any of us.
Of
you
course.
Know, I remember when I was a kid, when I think I was probably about 12 years old, my parents got me this poster that was a poster of this big lion. And the caption was, "It's hard to be humble when you're as good as I am."
Oh, my.
So I think it was a commentary. I kind of, you know, my youthful arrogance at the time. And it's so funny because I look back on that and I just laugh because they
of
had
course.
Me completely pegged. You know?
And, you know, when it's beer and billiards that you're, you know, they,
right.
they probably had some of that right.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. But those are the stories, I think, that are that really help us, like you said, stay humble, listen well. And when we think about, like, love being wishing the good for the other, right, always looking for the – you want people to hear that in us, that it is authentic and that we didn't get it all right and there's forgiveness and
right.
and there's – resurrection, right?
Yes.
No matter what they're going through. I think so many of our coworkers, you can just tell. I mean, they're if you just have coffee with somebody and you just say, "Wow, how's it going?" You know, either
right.
they're piled up at work or their parents are sick or they've come to live with them or, you know, somebody just lost somebody or they're sick.
Yeah.
There's so
yeah.
much going on that if we can just create that space, then yeah. then we can actually bring people hope. The hope of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what you're describing, you're so right on, because the whole thing about what you see when you sort of survey a workforce or, you know, a workplace
yep,
where
yep.
you're working
mm-hmm.
with a whole bunch of people, what you will never see is what's going on underneath the surface.
Yeah.
And this has been something that has really been eye-opening to me over, you know, when among other things, in my current position, I oversee HR. And it's just astonishing to me how many stories there are of people who are genuinely struggling. And as you say, going through some really tough stuff in their lives, losing people, going through serious illnesses, just all kinds of stuff. At the same time, what an opportunity for us as Christians to be able to step in and to truly love them when they are most vulnerable, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's our story, right? I know that when I've been in the pit, when I've done something really dumb, you know, made really poor choices, like Jesus was there with me. And we can model that and be that hand, that listening heart, that, you know, and a lot of times there's not a lot we can do about every single thing, but we can be present to people.
Right.
And a lot of times that's really just what they need. They just need presence. They really do.
I totally agree. And again, it comes back to humility, because just, you know, just being there is so important, but also recognizing that we can't always fix things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This took me decades of marriage to figure out that sometimes when I came home, my wife didn't want me to solve all of the problems that she wanted to, you know, to talk about at the end of a long day. She sometimes just wanted me to shut up and listen.
Just listen. You know?
Exactly. But it was a great lesson. It took me many, many, many times. I still don't have it perfected, but I think hopefully I've gotten a little bit better.
We're all a work in progress. We are a work in progress. So I have a question about work. Do you have like a story? Do you have like a time when you really did step out, you really said something to someone, and it worked out way better than you thought? Like I'm hoping to give our listeners just some encouragement. And just a little bit of courage to take that first step, even if they don't feel really up to it or they're not sure. Do you have a favorite story, maybe something that you said to someone and later on they came back to you, or maybe something that was hard to say, or yeah?
Yeah, it's funny. That hasn't happened to me for at least a few hours. Because so I'll tell you a story. This morning, I had a couple presentations to do. I was a part of an executive panel for what we call RevTech, because we call everything Rev something, because it's Rev Local is the company, right? So all of our tech people were in for this big meeting. And I knew I was going to be part of this panel, and my mind was sort of spinning and, okay, what am I going to say? And I want to make a couple points and give them some good, solid takeaways and everything. And then 15 minutes after that, I also knew that I had to do a different presentation at our monthly company update that we do, sort of an all-hands meeting.
Sure.
And so there was a piece of me that where it just hadn't settled in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just hadn't quite gotten there in terms of, okay, what is it that I really want to try to leave people with? Mm-hmm. And so a couple things. First of all, there was a very dear friend of mine is actually a hermit.
Wow.
And I'll never forget when I was on, you know, after I published my first couple books and I was on the speaking circuit, and I had called him at one point and said, hey, you know, I'm actually kind of nervous about this this talk that I'm doing tonight. And he said something I'll never forget. He said, just remember, you're not going there to perform. You're going there to love.
Wow.
And so I sort of reminded that has stuck with me so well. And so this morning, even though I was sort of going 100 miles an hour throughout the day, I just thought, you know, I just said a brief prayer to the Holy Spirit. And I said, please give me the words. And I had no idea what I was going to say until I got up and basically said it. And essentially what I said was, first of all, thank you to everybody, because I was delivering news. You know, we didn't have as great of a month in March as what we had hoped and things like that. So it was a little bit of getting real. But then the theme of the meeting was change, and just the pace and the rate of change that we've been going through as a company and within our industry.
Sure.
And it was just sort of given to me right at the end. Here's what you need to talk about. Some things never change. And what never changes is that when we take a personal interest in other people, part of our job is to help people flourish, because that's actually part of our mission statement, not just our clients, but our employees. Yeah. And every time that we pay extra attention to somebody, take that personal interest, that will never change. And we will never be a company where people are numbers. Because
wow.
if that happens, I'm
yeah,
out.
Right. Checking out.
And so I'm very grateful, because I had people tell me that that went over very well. And I attribute that completely to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. And to know that I'm going into something a little bit tough, a little bit scary, and to pray, right? To ask for that help. That's beautiful. So talking about gratitude, what are you grateful for? Tell me a little bit more about what you're grateful for.
Oh, man. I have, I have an awesome life in the sense that.
I've heard. Can't wait to meet her.
Yeah, exactly. And so much of it is, don't forget, marriage is a sacrament. And I believe it is the underrated sacrament.
Amen.
So having this wonderful, beautiful, precious wife of mine, and we've been married this year, it'll be 35 years.
Praise God.
And she is just as cute as ever. She's as awesome as ever. And so, of course, we're still in the honeymoon phase, right?
Of course. I like it.
But, that really does provide a great context, because the relationships in our lives really matter. Mm-hmm. And it is graced, because it's not like we haven't been through a lot of difficulty in 35 years.
Yeah.
So, there's that. She's precious to me. The children, all of our kids are equally precious, just precious and wonderful. And seven of the eight are, over 18 now. So adults.
Sure.
Lots of them have kids, of course, expecting grandkids 8 and 9, which I think is the coolest thing ever.
Ever.
And then, I think, grandparenthood, we could talk about that on a whole separate
That's a whole
podcast.
Other podcast. We'll just do a grandparent podcast.
I know. It's so great. So, but then the other thing is just having the ability to work with people who share the faith and the values in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And even those who don't are still committed to the same principles.
Right.
So it's an incredible blessing. Now, again, there's been a long, many, many years getting to that point. It hasn't always been rosy. It's been difficult along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But there, I am immensely grateful for all the blessing. But here's the thing that might take you off guard a little bit. I have learned, too, that it's also good to be grateful for the difficulties.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the difficulties they have a sanctifying effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds almost like weird and certainly countercultural. But I absolutely believe that the challenges in our lives are part of what helps us to achieve holiness.
Sure.
And ultimately sainthood.
And wouldn't that truly be Jesus's life too, right? Like, didn't he show us that it isn't always going to be rosy? I got to go to Jerusalem. And they're like, no, really, it's good. You don't got to go there. But he knew, and he chose that. And that carrying of the cross, we have these crosses. And, we all have them a little bit different. And we have some at work. We have some at home. We have our health. There's all kinds of crosses that we can, like you said, it becomes real when we're actually carrying that cross and joining that sacrifice in some way. And we learn a lot. We become better people. We become more saintly. Absolutely.
And it's partly we can do that because we know that we are so deeply loved.
Yes.
Again, that goes back to the context. The context of our faith is something that's so incredible. And we've been given the gifts of the sacraments.
Yes.
That, it's almost like God knew that we were going to need something like confession.
Hey, right?
Right.
I better set this up because that's how this is going to go.
it's so perfect. I mean, I just absolutely, I love it and I appreciate it so much. Even though we're completely messed up in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you can't focus on that too much or else it drags you down. So we always have to be striving. And it's part of the human condition.
Sure.
Nothing's ever perfect. But
yeah.
But we know that even through the difficulties, we can be thankful, And even through the blessings, we can be thankful too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I am always hopeful that we have some young people listening to our podcast. So if you have, is there a piece of wisdom? I mean, the whole time together has been lots of wisdom, so I appreciate that. But is there anything you'd like to say and pass on as a leader, as a dad, as an author, as a man, a faith-filled disciple? Is there anything you'd like to share, a piece of wisdom that you'd like to share with the listeners, just from your experience, from what has really helped you? So yeah, just some of those younger folks might be listening to this part.
Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, and part of it, of course, depends on where people are at in their particular journey. But what the one thing that comes to my mind when you ask that question is that, you know, we talked about authenticity and trust and all these different things.
Yep.
The one thing that never changes as well is that we can always trust God.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I could say something to my younger self, right, it would be go all in sooner.
You know, and just that's
trust.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, just trust. Mm-hmm. Like immediately, give your entire life to Him.
Wow.
He's going to take you on an adventure. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And look at the end result that we're promised
right?
through faithfulness.
Oh.
It blows. You know, it's mind blowing.
Right, and you're right. If it takes us a while to sort of, you know, wade in, sometimes you just got to jump off the board, man. You just got to run and jump and do it. And He's with us, right?
Exactly. And even if we screw up, He can still use that to bring about good, which is the most dazzling thing in the world. And you think about the sort of what I would call the penultimate example is Jesus on the cross.
Yes. Course.
You know, taking something that where people are like killing God or at least attempting to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And look at what He turned that into.
Right. It's the resurrection. It's living
exactly.
it. And that's beautiful. That's a beautiful gift, I think, to the listeners, just to be able to ponder that, kind of chew on that as they continue on their day. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for all your time, all your wisdom. And before we end the Innovation Podcast, just a quick reminder to our listeners that you can find tools, stories, and resources on our website, utgatwork.org, to help you share your faith in the workplace. You can also sign up to receive our podcast and follow us on social media. So, Kevin, thank you so much for your inspiration. I loved so many of the things we talked about, life, death, hope, love, authenticity, all of it. And you've really touched my heart and given me great, great encouragement today. So thank you. You are very welcome. Wondering if you could be so kind and finish our time together by leading us in prayer.
If I can do my favorite one, absolutely. Let's
sure.
go.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All righty, be sure to visit utgatwork.org. Listen to our podcasts, and follow us on social media. Hope you can join us for the next Unleash the Gospel at Work Innovation Podcast. Our Lady of Victory, pray for us.